Turn with me tonight in the Holy Scriptures to the 7th chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 7. We'll read the chapter in its entirety. And my text for tonight is the chapter as a whole. The Word of God at Joshua 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, that is, the accursed thing of Jericho, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side, Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarahites, and he brought the family of the Zarahites, man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. There ends our reading of God's Word. May the Lord bless our reading of the Holy Scripture. When we think of the book of Joshua, undoubtedly, the first thing that comes to mind is the great victory over the city of Jericho, the victory that God gave to the children of Israel, miraculously delivering that city into the hands of his people. For 7 days, they marched around the city once in perfect silence. The priests leading the way. On the seventh day, they marched around the city seven times. Then at the end, the priests blew their trumpets. The people shouted a great shout, and the walls of the city of Jericho came tumbling down. The overthrow of the city of Jericho is a monument to the grace of God. God caused the walls of the city to come crashing down. It is a monument to God's faithfulness to His word that He would give the children of Israel the land of Canaan. And it was a victory that demonstrated that God was with Israel, just as He had miraculously brought them out of the land of Egypt. So miraculously would He bring them into the inheritance of the land of Canaan. But that's Joshua 6. And this is Joshua 7. Only one chapter later, from the glorious heights of Joshua 6 to the depths of Joshua 7, to the wonder of God's grace, to the rebellion and disobedience of the people. What explains the shameful defeat at the hands of the army of Ai? What explains it that the army of Israel was routed and 36 men of the children of Israel were put to death? The very first verse of the chapter provides the answer. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. I call your attention to sin in the camp, noticing with you three things. In the first place, the nature of this sin. What was the sin? In the second place, the responsibility for the sin. Who was held by God responsible for this sin? And then finally, the removal of the sin in the stoning of Achan and all his family. Immediately after the conquest of Jericho, Joshua proceeded to make plans for the capture of the neighboring city, the city of Ai. This was in perfect harmony with the will of God. And this was in keeping with God's own strategy for the defeat of the land of Canaan. Israel was commanded to begin the conquest at Jericho, in the very center of the land of Canaan. Not from the south upward, nor from the north downward, but in the middle of the land. And this was a strategy that was, over time, well documented. Divide and conquer. And that was what Israel did. Attack the middle of the country so that the south was cut off from the north and the north cut off from the south. From Jericho, Joshua sent spies to spy out the city of Ai. Verse 2. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. It was right for Joshua to continue the advance into the land. This he knew to be God's will. It was also right for Joshua to send out the spies. For even though God had promised that he would give the land to Joshua and to the children of Israel, that Joshua would send out the spies, nonetheless, was a testimony to God's use of means. He didn't tempt God. He didn't go headlong on his own. But he sent out the spies, understanding that it was God's will to give them the land, but to give them the land in the way of their own conquest of the land. God is a God of means. The report of the spies who were sent out to spy the city of Ai was a favorable report. The advice of the spies is found in verse 3. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. That advice of the spies was adopted by Joshua, the first part of verse 4. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. But the army of Israel was defeated, utterly defeated. The last part of verse 4 and verse 5. And they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, and chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Joshua's response and the response of the elders of Israel to this defeat is recorded in verses 6 through 9. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell on the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side, Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us round and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" Joshua was grief-stricken. Joshua was utterly bewildered. Joshua was thoroughly demoralized. The Lord's response to Joshua's intercession is contained in verses 10 through 12. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up." Very abrupt, short, God was with Joshua, as if to say, "Get off your feet. Don't you know why this has happened? You should know. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you." The next day, all the tribes of Israel were brought before Joshua, and the lot was cast. God saw to it that the lot fell eventually on Achan, the son of Carmi, of the tribe of Judah. When finally he was confronted by Joshua, Achan admitted the sin that he had committed. Verses 19 through 21. "And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." Achan had sinned. We ought not to minimize or excuse the sin of which Achan was guilty. His sin was serious sin. in the first place, Achan's sin, was that he stole. Not because he took that which belonged to someone else, but because he took that which God had forbidden him. That's how Achan's sin is characterized in verse 11. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, and they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen. In the second place, Achan's sin was that he coveted. That was behind the act of stealing. What he did with his hands originated in the attitude of his heart. When he saw that goodly Babylonish garment, the pieces of silver and the wedge of gold, he wanted them for himself. He lusted after them. That's sinful coveting. That's the description of Achan's sin in verse 21. He himself says, the middle of the verse, then I coveted them and took them. Third, Achan's sin, besides theft and besides lust, Achan's sin was deliberate, willful rebellion against God. This wasn't a sin of ignorance into which inadvertently he fell. Not at all. It was willful and it was deliberate. Knowing God's will for all the things of Jericho, that Israel was not to take anything that remained, that the entirety of Jericho was under the ban. It must be left as a permanent memorial of God's victory given to the children of Israel. He knew that will of God, and deliberately he disobeyed God's will. In the fourth place, what aggravated Achan's sin was that he lied. That's often what we do. That's often what you children do after you've stolen or done something else wrong. And when you're confronted by your parents, by your Christian school teacher, by your neighbor, you lie. That's the sin that Achan was guilty of. That's the meaning of the word dissembled in verse 11. For they have even taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen and dissembled also. To dissemble is to put on a false front. It's deliberately to play the part of the hypocrite. It's to cover up what you know very well is sinful and wrong. That was Achan's sin. Besides that, on account of his lie, Achan was responsible for the death of 36 men of Israel, his fellow Israelites. fathers, brothers, sons, grandsons. 36 men of Israel slain because of Achan's sin. Achan's sin was also that he disrupted the peace of God's Israel. His sin was schism. That's why he is referred to as Achan, the one who troubled Israel. He becomes known as the troubler of Israel. Later, reflecting on this history, in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 7, we read, "And the sons of Carmi, Achar," that's Achan, "the troubler of Israel, who transgressed in the accursed thing." But the ultimate seriousness of Achan's sin was that Achan transgressed the covenant of God. Twice in the passage, that's how his sin is described. Verse 11, "Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant." And in verse 15, "And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord." That he transgressed the covenant of God underscores the fact that his sin was the sin of a professing child of God. He named the name of God. In New Testament terms, we would say that he was a confessing Christian. But the things of this world meant more to him than the things of God. Not God's covenant and friendship with God, but the friendship and fellowship of the world, the unbelieving world. That was uppermost in Achan's mind. He despised the covenant of God. That raises the question, who then was responsible for this sin? Certainly, the responsibility for this sin begins with Achan. Achan, the troubler of Israel. Achan was to blame for this sin. The account brings that out. And that's also 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 7. That we read a moment ago. "And the sons of Carmi, Achan, the troubler of Israel, who transgressed in the accursed thing." Achan was to blame for the sin that Achan committed. Achan bore the judgment of God as the troubler of Israel. An awful judgment it was. He perished under the wrath of God. He died of stoning. Imagine that, children. having rocks thrown at you until you are so battered by them that you die. That was the death that Achan died, because he was responsible before God for the sin that he had committed. The sinner can never escape personal responsibility before God for his sin. Even if that judgment of God isn't seen in this life, God judges and God punishes the sinner, both in this life and in the life to come. The sinner may often attempt to excuse himself of the guilt of his sin. He may give all kinds of excuses, mitigating circumstances, in order to evade the seriousness of his sin. Or he may make a noisy accusation of others who also were responsible for this sin, others besides himself, laying the blame on them. But in the end, God who sees and God who knows the thoughts and hearts of every man holds the sinner responsible for his sin. But the wider, the more significant truth of this word of God is that the whole nation of Israel was responsible for the sin of one of its members. That's the outstanding truth that this passage illustrates. It's the truth that we often refer to as corporate responsibility. The responsibility of the corporation. That's just the body. A corpse is a body. Corporate responsibility is the responsibility of the whole body for the sin of one of its members. That's the truth brought home in this sad history. The whole nation of Israel shared in the guilt of Achan's sin. Achan's sin was not only his sin personally, but his sin was the sin of a member of a body, the nation of Israel, the church of that day. The fundamental principle is illustrated in this history. That's plain from the very first verse of Joshua chapter 7. Joshua 7 does not begin, "But Achan, a member of the nation of Israel, committed a trespass in the accursed thing." That is not how Joshua 7 begins. But this is how the chapter begins. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, the children of Israel. That's also verse 11. God's word to Joshua after he has told him, get up. Israel hath sinned, God says at the beginning of verse 11 to Joshua. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen. They have stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. And that's also plain from what happened as a result of this sin. Israel's army was defeated, and men of Israel were smitten by the soldiers of Ai. The whole nation was corporately responsible for the sin that Achan committed. This is also why all Israel had to administer that punishment upon Achan. Verse 25. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stone. This is the significance of what happened. This is the explanation for this sad history. Several years later, Joshua underscores this very truth when he says in Joshua 23, verse 20, did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel, and that man perished, not alone in his iniquity. This is a fundamental spiritual truth. A fundamental spiritual principle that applies as much today as it applied in the Old Testament. This applies in the life of a nation. We are all citizens of the United States of America, a godless nation. A nation, for example, that is responsible for the death of millions of unborn babies. A nation that is responsible not only for countenancing, but promoting the vile sin of homosexuality. And as a nation, we share. We are corporately responsible in God's punishment that falls on our country, falls on Christians in this country as well. This applies to the life of a family. And that too is striking in the history. Husbands and fathers, mothers too, are the heads of their homes and families. The decisions that they make, for good or for bad, have consequences, not just for themselves, but for their family. Achan was not only stoned, but Achan, his wife, his children, servants, livestock, everything that he had, stoned and burned with fire. Maybe his wife knew about what her husband did, and that he buried his treasure in the floor of their tent. Maybe. Chapter doesn't tell us. Maybe the children, some of them at least, were of age and could very well have disapproved of what their father did and told him so. We don't read anything like that. What we read is that Achan sinned, and Achan's entire family, because he was the head of his home and family, perished with him. Husbands, father, see from this history the important position you have as the head of your home and family. This applies to the life of the church. This is true of denominations of churches. Denominations of churches that make unbiblical decisions, decisions contrary to the Word of God. It isn't just the leaders of those denominations that bear God's judgment, but the members of those denominations. This is true of the Protestant Reformed churches of America. We may well look upon the distressing circumstances and struggles through which our churches have passed in the last number of years as God's judgment, at least in part, his judgment upon us corporately for the sins of leaders in our churches. Pastors, Christian school teachers, guilty of sexual abuse. God has humbled and God has judged our churches. That happens in individual congregations too, that countenance sin, refuse to exercise Christian discipline. Let us say, for those who wickedly desert their spouses and sinfully contract another marriage. Or a church that countenances Sabbath desecration, refusing to exercise Christian discipline over those who break the Sabbath. God judges churches and denominations for the sins of their members. The only way that God's wrath against the congregation of Israel could be turned away was by the removal of the sin. Verses 24 and 25 describe the removal of the sin. 24 and 25, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire after they had stoned him with stones. This was a severe judgment, but it was a just judgment. Achan had lusted after the things of the world, and so fittingly, he perishes with the world. As the stones of the massive walls of Jericho fell on and crushed many of the inhabitants of Jericho, so Achan was stoned to death. As the city of Jericho and all its contents were burned with fire, so also Achan and all his possessions were burned with fire. He who loves the world perishes with the world. That's the warning of this history. With the stoning of Achan, sin was removed from the camp. The very next chapter records Israel's conquest of the city of Ai. In order that Israel will remember this history, she is to make a memorial of stones in the valley in which Achan was stoned. Verse 26, they raised up over him a great heap of stones unto this day. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Achor means trouble. Achan had brought trouble upon Israel, and he received that trouble back again upon his own head. At the time of his stoning, Joshua said, "Why hast thou brought trouble, Achor, upon us? The Lord will bring trouble, Achor, upon you today." Verse 25. This must be remembered in Israel, not just the glorious victories, like the passage through the Jordan River and the memorial raised at Gilgal, but also the memorials to God's wrath and judgment, like this memorial. But even in the severest of judgments, God remembers mercy. For the Valley of Achor, the symbol of God's wrath and judgment, becomes later in the Old Testament the occasion for an amazing prophecy. The prophecy is found in Hosea 2, verses 14 and 15. "Wherefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards from thence and the valley of Achor for a door of hope." The valley of Achor for a door of hope. Achor becomes a door of hope in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ has taken on Achor's trouble, the trouble that you deserve and the trouble that I deserve because we are sinners. He's taken that trouble upon himself. That's the truth of the sacrament that was administered here this morning. He was troubled for us. He went down into that deep, dark valley, a valley of judgment, a valley of death, a valley of the wrath of God, and he did it in our place as our head and our representative. He did it for those who had transgressed the covenant of God. And the result is that through him, there is opened up to you and to me a door of hope, everlasting hope, and salvation. Amen. Father in heaven, receive our thanks and praise for thy great salvation of us in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who was troubled for us so that we would not have to endure that trouble ourselves. Receive our thanks and praise for Jesus' sake. Amen.